on guard. I'll let you try my Wu-Tang style.
Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McKay, Michelle Knezovic hanging out here on a Tuesday. NFL owners' meetings going on right now, and coaches, GMs, they're all there. They talked. Teron Davenport, ESPN, joins us now. TD, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, man? I just hearing this Wu-Tang, man, it got me going. I had to stand back up after doing some push-ups.
Yeah, man. We were just talking about music a little bit in the last segment, and I said to Nick, I feel like, you know, working with all of us, we've expanded your horizons, and Wu-Tang came up, and Michelle goes, well, we got to have that ready for TD. So there you go.
That's right. So shout out to Nick.
Yeah, no doubt. DJ Nick on the ones and twos doing a good job today. So you're at the owners' meetings, and you know, a lot of stuff, I guess, we're, you know, coming out with Lamar Jackson has supposedly asked for a trade and what the Ravens are going to do there. But I listened to Mike Vrabel and then Rand Carthon yesterday as well about Ryan Tannehill, and I continue to feel they are committal while also being non-committal at the same time. I go back to J-Rob's phrase of, I don't foresee trading A.J. Brown, and that keeps popping up in my head that I feel like they're leaving the door cracked open in case something happens. Now, with that said, I don't believe this team's in on Lamar Jackson. I think that's more if a quarterback were to fall to them at 11, what could that mean moving forward for them? That's how I look at it.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that's really where it is. But one thing you do have to also put into perspective is the way Mike Vrabel said about not guaranteeing that a guy will be on the roster in September. He was like, we saw last year, and you know what happened last year. He said, you know, as long as I'm the coach, A.J. Brown will not be traded, and we know what happened on draft day. So I think that's also something to put into the mix. But you look at just the whole situation, even with Derrick Henry, you know, asking both of them about, you know, the damage control, both in the meeting, Rand Carthon as well as Mike Vrabel, you know, do you have to go into damage control mode? And they said that they're relying on the relationships, especially Mike Vrabel, the relationships that they established with these guys. So I think they're fully invested in Ryan Tannehill being the quarterback. Now, obviously, if something comes up, they could definitely go about making that move. And you mentioned the draft, and I think when you look at Tannehill, he's a guy who's, in my opinion, mature and mentally strong enough to handle that and understand that it is a business, and he knows he won't be there forever. So if they draft a guy at 11, I don't think that that's going to impact Ryan Tannehill.
Well, if they draft a guy at 11, do you think it's Will Levis, and do you like that pick if that's what it happens to be?
Well, yeah, you know, it could definitely be Will Levis. I know, you know, they were at Kentucky's pro day, both Carthon and Vrabel. It could also be Anthony Richardson. You know, I personally would like the Anthony Richardson one a little bit more, just because I think there's so much upside with him. And one of the things that's really kind of floating under the radar is Charles London, who is, you know, going to be QB coach, pass game coordinator, you know, et cetera, the things that he's taken on. And that is a big part of being able to develop a quarterback, because, frankly, they haven't really shown to be able to, you know, do that, because they haven't had the opportunity other than Malik Willis in a limited role. So I think you bring Charles London in, you see how much, and I actually asked Coach Art Smith about London, you know, and the impact that he has in bringing along Desmond Ridder, you know, to the point where he eventually started. So you definitely have to take that into consideration. As far as Levis is concerned, I mean, he's a big athletic guy. I don't know how he's going to be. You know, there's question marks, obviously, you know, with footwork and, you know, some of his accuracy, et cetera. But he's a guy that could push the ball down the field with the best of them. I mean, you've seen some. Look at the Florida game. You know, he threw it on a rope to a guy on a post, and it was a touchdown. So either one of those guys, it would be interesting.
Teron Davenport joins us, and you've got a lot of coverage. I'm looking at this Arthur Smith interview you just mentioned. You asked him about Charles London and that addition to the Tennessee Titans staff. But, you know, Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel had some comments regarding Ryan Tannehill and what his future potentially could look like with the Tennessee Titans. Did you read anything into those comments, Teron? And do you feel confident in saying you think that they will stay with Tannehill?
Yeah, I do feel confident in that. I do think that they stay with Ryan Tannehill. And, again, I think those comments are they're it's not damning, in my opinion, to Ryan Tannehill. And I think when you look at everything, he's the guy. He's under contract. You know, he's the guy that they're going with, at least for this next year, in my opinion. And, you know, even though they haven't made, like, a strong ringing endorsement, it's almost like they're taking the approach of what's understood doesn't need to be said, you know, and I think that's the way that's going.
How do you view this backup quarterback situation, Teron? Josh Dobbs recently signed with the Browns. You know, Malik Willis was their third-round pick last year. And now there's just a lot of question marks. I mean, we saw Ryan Tannehill get hurt this year. Malik had to step up, wasn't ready for that opportunity. How do you view the backup quarterback position as the draft's around the corner and training camp will be here before we know it?
Well, the belief is that Willis will continue to develop. Now, whether or not that's the best decision is up to the person that, you know, you ask. But that is the belief. And talking to Mike Vrabel, talking to Tim Kelly, and talking to Rand Carthon, and they've all said that, obviously, you can take it for what it is, right? It's coming to the building and you know, doing the things that you could do now. It only has so much value. But they've all said that, you know, they like what they've seen from him so far. They feel that there's promise. So, to me, that means that he's going to be the backup. But also what tells even more is the fact that Josh Dobbs went to the Browns for like a $2 million deal. Like it wasn't impactful at all. A backup quarterback on a $2 million salary that could come in and start for you in a pinch like he did, I think there's value there. So if you believe that you don't have a backup in Malik Willis, you don't let the Josh Dobbs situation happen where he goes to Cleveland. So that tells me they feel that Willis will be all right.
Teron Davenport joins us live from the coaches' meeting. Teron, when you look at this team and you look at the moves that Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel have made so far, I mean, they've made, I call it smart shopping, right? They've got some guys. They're not giving out these big contracts, low term. The ability to, you know, get off maybe an Andre Dillard in a year if need be, if it doesn't work out here. How do you view this team as they head into the draft just about a month away? Do you view they're still in the position where they're in a go-for-it mode, or they're in a reset trying to kind of, I guess, change things and let go of some veteran players and move in some young players for, you know, Rand Carthon taking over?
Yeah, I think they're in between the two, honestly, and there's different reasons for that because you look at, as you said, the smart shopping, right? They were able to bring in some guys that are low value contract-wise, but they could definitely be high value impact-wise, and that's, you know, Aziz Alshire, Daniel Brunskill. Those are guys that, you know, very low-cost deals, but they're replacing players who moved on. You know, pretty good contracts, right? And David Long Jr. and Nate Davis. So, in my opinion, they're kind of like right in between. This is one of those years where it's like, you know, you put some Band-Aids on a few things and you allow the deeper wounds to continue to heal. That's kind of how I look at it. I don't see them competing like for a Super Bowl or anything like that, but the division is always there. And that's something that, you know, you get into the dance, you never know what could happen. So that's the way I look at it with where they are now.
Teron Davenport is with us. Kevin Byard, I know you guys asked Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel about him yesterday. Doesn't feel like there's any resolution there, but I know Rand Carthon was steadfast in saying that neither Kevin Byard himself or his representation asked for a release. Didn't deny the pay cut part of things, which I think we all believe probably happened. But where do you think this is going, and when do you think we'll see resolution?
Well, I think it's going to the point where it is what it is. The number is where it is, and, you know, they tried to address it. It didn't happen. So now you have to move on to other ways, right? So what do you do? Maybe see if you could, you know, go to the bank of Amani Hooker, or, you know, see if you could talk to Harold Landry about adjusting. Those are the things that they'll have to do. There are guys left. If you want to find the money, you can, but the initial – what they wanted to do I don't think that's happening.
Yeah. Well, we will see how it shakes out. And also, real quick, Lamar Jackson, what do you think happens with him?
Yeah, that's a touch and go. I have no clue. What's interesting is when asked about that, you know, Arthur Smith has said that you always look to improve the roster. Mm-hmm. And he was saying whether that's, you know, the number six corner or a backup gunner. So he made sure he balanced it out. But there wasn't a denial. Hey, nah, not interested. That didn't come. And it still shocks me that there's so many quick not interested in regards to Lamar Jackson. The last time I checked, you know, there's no criminal history. There's no rap sheet or anything like that. Obviously, he missed a few games, you know, the last couple years, but I don't see anything to make you say, hey, heck no, we're not interested.
Yeah, well, it'll be interesting to see how it shakes out for sure. But, Teron, appreciate the time today. Enjoy it, and I'll see you Thursday.
Yeah, for sure. See you Thursday.
Yeah, thanks, looking TD. Forward to it. Teron Davenport.
All right, take care.
Titans NFL Nation reporter for ESPN joining us, and he's actually going to co-host with me on Thursday on Stillman & Company. I'm in for Jared the rest of the week, so I'll be on starting today, and looking forward to having TD. And David Beauclair is going to be with me today starting at 2 o'clock. But interesting stuff. Who knows what's going to happen when it comes to Lamar Jackson. Coming up next, we'll get back into the stadium report that Paul Kaharsky put out last night and when the new stadium might open for the Titans. We'll do that next. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.